want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. And now, today's message.
Establishment through holiness. Amen.
Let's take our confession. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
You are here among spirit-filled believers. You don't have a spirit-filled friend. You don't have a spirit-filled friend. You say, oh, these people, they are preferred too much. I don't like them. You are not born again. You are not born again. The law of the spirit, like attracts like. In the law of the spirit, like attracts like. All your friends, all your bosom friends, your confidants, anytime you fall in love with the unbelievers. The Bible is very clear. Say, what has light got to do with darkness? No, you have the Holy Spirit. He will draw you towards somebody in whom He resides. He won't take you to a... No. Hallelujah. He won't lead you astray. That is why indeed He is given. To come alongside and to be our counselor and advisor. Amen. We are pressing the reset button. And all that you have to do, this born again thing is all about God. I'm sorry. I am sorry. I didn't understand. I didn't know. But at the preaching and the teaching of your word, I have come to understand. I'm sorry. I want this, the real one. Not because you said some prayers some time ago and they said it was labeled sinner's prayer. That is not sufficient. Praying a sinner's prayer is not. You must come under conviction. And you must vacate the throne of your life. Your will must be handed over to God. And now you must come in. And that's how Paul will say, I'm a bond slave, bond servant of Jesus Christ. He says, go, you go. Amen. God says, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As high as the heavens are above them, so are my thoughts, so are my ways. The only wise God. So, hey, whenever you find yourself, arguing with the Holy Spirit, who is your counselor, and says, do this, and you are arguing, check it. You may fall. Hallelujah. But thank God, some of us realize that all of us have had this tug of war with the Holy Spirit in certain decisions as you come along in the adventures with Him. And then we fall. A proverb says what? A righteous man will fall how many times? Get up! You get up. I want to make it. Amen. Then that's how we learn our lessons. That's how we pick our lessons. Amen. He says, any child that he receives, he chastises. And all true children of his, he disciplines. They undergo discipline, tutoring. So all of us, we've made mistakes before. But that's how we profit and mature in the Lord. And then we cascade the information to the next generation and to our friends. And within the community, if you do this, God will be displeased with you. If you are unequally yoked with an unbeliever, God will be unfair. But if you dare go and marry an unbeliever, hey, it doesn't mean that when you go and marry a believer, somebody who is also taking the pains and making strides, you won't get challenges. No, that's not what the Bible says. Indeed, the Bible says that there's no man that sinneth not. Let's get some of these things. Hallelujah. Amen. But then there is that desire to succeed. Amen. There is that desire. He brings boldness. He brings courage. When everybody else is saying, no, 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 you are saying yes. He's saying yes. He says, I can do it. I can live righteous and pleasing lifestyles to God. Hallelujah. So can we come there? I was going to read through 1 Thess 3:4-5. To round up so we can pick some, but let's go to verse 13, please, because that's in fact that's what I've been teaching or exhorting on. May he, as a result, remember verse 12, 10 to 12. This is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church, and he had talked. We mentioned it last week about love being the principal thing. Hallelujah. If you love God, remember what we always say, you draw from the love of God vertically. And then you dispense it horizontally to men. Jesus said, if you are able to do that, because that's the first law, that's the first commandment. God created us to love him first. And then he'll give you the strength and the grace to be able to love your fellow men. When you do that, he said you have fulfilled the entire law. So Paul, in verse 12, was it 12, 11, 12? Go back. Was telling them, and may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow. Just as our love for you overflows. It's also one key sign that we'll see. You love the people of God. You love them. You love them. And remember love. We went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to see how love is defined. Amen. Don't we, as a believer, you never say some. You hear them say, oh, a Christopher nye, a Christopher nye. Christopher, no. I'm saying that if you are genuine, God will lead you to genuine ones. Yeah, it's like that. If you are not sincere, hallelujah, because God wants you to be sincere, the other unsincere ones will come, and then you know. Hallelujah. Amen. But just trust. Just trust and obey. That's how we have come from. When I look around, amen. When I look around, most of my friends, they are in church friends. They are church. Hallelujah. Of course, for every 12, you have one Judas in. But, hey, 12 against one is good. Amen. So even in church, the church of Jesus Christ, how much more Harvest Chapel? Hallelujah. Amen. So let's learn how to love. And that was the prayer of Paul, just as our love for you overflows. Then verse 13, which has been our text for the month, it said, may he, as a result of learning how to love God and dispensing that love towards men, but especially, the Bible once again says, them of the household of faith, our fellow believers. Because God wants us to form alliances and associations with them. Amen. And he teaches us, all the Bible teaches all. When we find ourselves in certain seasons, we are not, at our loving best. Amen. And that seasons come, seasons change. Amen. Not to give up on each other. And if there is any anger and all those things, we fight them with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then move on by your best bet. Hallelujah, of experiencing divine love is to stay within the confines of the church. Amen. And say that as a result, God prayed for, and I think I outlined about 4 or 5 things here. I'll just touch on it briefly and see it say that. May God make your heart strong. And I said it, that we need strong hearts. In the Bible, or in Hebrew thought, because most of them who wrote it were Hebrew, the heart is the center, hallelujah, of life. Remember what Jesus said, at the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And from our hearts flow all the issues of life. So it's a metaphor, more or less. Hallelujah. When they say the heart, It's a metaphor. But so there, that is the controlling part of life. It's there. That is where we have our will. It is the soulish realm. Yes, the soulish realm where we have our will, our emotions. Hallelujah. Our intellect. And particularly the will is what I'm talking about here. Amen. The human will is such a strong thing. And in partnership with the will of God, the Holy Spirit has come to partner with your will. It's unbreakable. It's unconquerable. That is why you can live a holy life. The will of man, it is such a strong citadel. No one can, not even God. God doesn't mean use force. He uses persuasion. My son, I have a better life for you. Give your life to me. And then some days you hear it. There is life after death. When you die, you are not dead. You appear before me. There is judgment coming. That is why I want you to give your life to me. Hallelujah. And so he will persuade you. And then that's, as I said, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will bring conviction. Hallelujah. Amen. He brings conviction. So that is the atmosphere or the aura under which we gave our lives to Jesus and got born again. So that sometimes the Bible will say, so why do you want to go back to that lifestyle? So what did you yield? What did you put on the table? What did you forgo? What did you sacrifice? If you go back to that lifestyle, like Galatians 5:19 lists. Amen. He said, make your heart strong. Amen. Strong hearts, more or less strong-willed. Strong will. And it's this very same center that controls your life that the Holy Spirit comes there and partners to firm you. To firm you. Like Paul was telling Titus, the Holy Spirit has come. It has come to, the salvation of God has been revealed. It has come to teach us to say no to ungodly lifestyle. No! And if you have the Holy Spirit, I'm saying that's what we are seeing. So we look at your lifestyle and we'll see. We all live in the same community. We see it, and so we'll see your lifestyle. Those who want to hide, they quit church. Hallelujah. May he, as a result, make your heart strong. So a strong more is like it has come to firm your convictions. You must have convictions. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and then impress the truths of the Bible or the truths of our universe, the truths about God. He will impress them upon your heart. Like I said, you just read through. Be reading. Be reading the Bible. As we say, do it. Do your devotional. Read it. Read it. One day you will rise up and say, I believe. I believe. The truth, you rise up one day. Hallelujah. Amen. When you read it, that, remember, you know, when I was a new believer. Yes, they say read. So me too, I was reading. In any case, I like reading. So I was reading. One day, I still remember. When I read all these theologians and their argument, I couldn't make any head. One day, I said, this Trinity thing that they are talking about, it's true. That's all. That's all. You read it and then it's like, you are reading through the pages and then it's like, it is dawning on you that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit is like they are interchangeable and you know, whatever those theologians, but it must probably be true. It looks like the same person, isn't it? Sometimes it's, so you don't need, you may not have gone to any theological school, but you, the plain reading of it. And remember what I say, the Holy Spirit will teach you. You'll be spirit taught. That's why your quiet time is so important. Hallelujah. And when he teaches you about how to live a pleasing life to him, he will give you the grace. We are saying holiness should not be a subject for us to shy away from if we do the ABCs. So strong will, strong hearts. That teaches us to say, no, this is what I want. I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. That is why I'll be careful about sin. That'll be why I'll be careful about an ungodly lifestyle. That is why I'll say no and not do it. That is why I have heard that one of these days God is going to come and it will be suddenly. No. So what if he comes and catches me, you know, at the wrong place and I am left behind? Therefore, no. Amen. Are you seeing what you are saying? The convictions. Convictions. That is why you go to the workplace and you will not be entangled and ensnared by the corruption that is there. Anytime I hear the believers and say, oh, daddy, I want to be a politician. I say, hey, I don't have a problem, but make sure it's not, you are not a Ghanaian politician. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it is tough. It is tough over there. But you have our blessing. Go and do it and let's see. And make a difference. And they all promise that we are going to make a difference there and come. And before long. Hallelujah. Amen. God says, or they'll kick you out. Or they'll quit and then you run away and say, hey, what I went to see. I see. It's not a place for believers. Yes. Hallelujah. Strong convictions. Amen. And then the next one that he talked about, that make us blameless. Blameless. Not because we will not have never sin, but because of the cleansing blood. The cleansing blood. Hallelujah. And when we talk about the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, making us blameless in the sight of God, it is not as if God, you see, this born again thing, it's not as if God set us free. Yes, he set us free, but somebody paid the price. He said, the soul that sins shall die. The soul that sins shall die. It will be punished. Hallelujah. And every sin will be punished. That is why you must run away and get born again, for fear of the judgment. Hallelujah. Why the Bible calls us blameless? Because Jesus paid the price. It has been exacted on him. Hallelujah. Amen. Books are open. You and I are reading it here on earth. We may not see David's sin against Uriah and Bathsheba. God will raise it. It will not be there. Amen. That's what blameless means. When the books are flicked through and we come to your name and they call you for judgment, it will be blank, obliterated by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we must strive for it. That is why we must strive and live for God. Hallelujah. And then the next thing is the holiness that we have talked. We pray that and be holy as you stand before God. So we will stand before God. That's what I'm just painting. We will stand before God. We will stand before God. When you die, you are not dead. You are not, no, you don't enter into oblivion. You will all stand before God. Amen. Scriptures are very clear. Jesus said it in, is it Matthew 10:28? Check it. Let's see. About the whom we should fear. Hallelujah. Yes. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. But rather fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen. So we will stand before God one day. How we lived our lives. How we treated his spirit. And the guidance, the offer of guidance that was at hand for us. The pardon. What did we do with it? The only brand of peace, reconciliation to men. What did you do with it? Can we go back to the text here? So, holy, because we will stand before God. And then he said, when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. And that's the teaching of our scriptures. Jesus will come again. Jesus will come again. Can we read chapter 4? Yes, let's go to chapter 4, the latter part. I think we have read 1 to 8, but the latter part where... And then we can close with where Paul... Okay, but we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Amen. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. And this is also a very important truth about how we can love people, how we can love unlovable people. That's one of the amazing things about the gospel. When the Holy Spirit comes, it says the love of God that is shed abroad in our lives. It increases your capacity to love the unlovable. When you do the things we are doing, remember, so you see, love does not hate. You see, we say when you love, so you find your this holiness journey, just learn how to love and to love well. When you love and you love well, there's no law against it. Nobody will be able to go and then say, Papa, wait, then this person, it's Imu Dimpa. When we were on earth, the things that he was doing to me, no, because you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. So, more love. Hallelujah. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands. You seen it? I liked it when I was a student. When I came across this scripture, I marked it. Hallelujah. And every time I say, look, God says you should live a quiet. For me, that has been my mantra. Make it your goal to live a quiet life. That's how Abraham and all those patriarchs, they live, because they recognize that, look, it's a sojourning out here. We are not in for fame, for fortune, and for all those things. No. Like the other day I was asking, the billionaires of this world that we envy, have you seen any of them taking any money away? They leave it. And somebody said, all the mansions that they will build, one day they become monuments and people will come and destroy it because it would have, you know, be antiquated. Nobody has the use of it. The castle, look at what is it? Well, castles now, Osu Castle, what do they do there now? But at the time they were built, that was what was in vogue. Everybody was building castles. Hallelujah. And then we build the Jubilee House and abandon it. Amen. Walk through this neighborhood. You see a lot of buildings unoccupied. Big, unoccupied. Someone say, all their proud owners, they are dead. And their offspring say, we don't like it. We don't like it. I want my own cute one. And then and all those, they are lying there. Live a quiet life, minding your own business, working with your own scripture, working with your hands, just as we instructed before. Verse 12. Then people who are not believers will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen. That's what the take home, our concluding part for this sermon. What will happen to the believers who have died? So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. 14. Listen. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, and that's the point we are making. As believers, we are awaiting the return of Jesus. Jesus will come again. And when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Why don't you begin to thank the Lord? Thank the Lord for the message that we have heard throughout the month. And then particularly also as we are doing that, we are evaluating our lives. What is the trajectory of our lives? Are we on track? Are we born again? Are we born again? Have we surrendered? Have we said, I accepted the offer of pardon? Have we renounced sin? Have we told God, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you by living wayward lives. But now I have heard and I'm coming home. I'm coming to be reconciled with my God, my Creator. I want to now live a life that is pleasing to you. You send me your Holy Spirit to come and help, guide, mentor, coach, in the name of Jesus. So that one day when you come, I will not be left out. I will not shy away. I will not run away. In the mighty name of Jesus. May he grant us the grace to live righteous and holy lives before him. So that, Lord, when you appear, through your Son Jesus, in your Son Jesus Christ, we will not have cause to be ashamed. Your name be praised. Your name be glorified. Your name be. As we end this month, my God, Malamaro setende nini mihata, Malaha sande nini mihata ndalalahapa. As we pledge, my God, that you bring us all to the place of salvation. True, sincere salvation that we will understand and appreciate and live out the born again experience in the name of Jesus. And you grant us that help, not by power, not by might, but by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you do it. We thank you, Lord, for what you have done in our lives throughout the season. Bringing us to the altar where we'll surrender all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for sealing us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the season and the times where we are calling and crying out, revive us again. Revive us again. Revive us again. Revive us again. We have heard of thee by the ear. We have heard of your faith. We have heard what you did in times and seasons past. Won't you revive us again so that we might see thy works again? We want to see thy hand. We want to see thy works. We want proofs, we want signs, we want wonders. Revive us. And be glorified. As we gather, oh God, on Friday and on Saturday and on Sunday, my God. Really more Sunday in the Mihataya. Rala Masakande in the Mihatabaya. All over this place, Daddy, send for ministering angels. Send for ministering angels, oh God, to minister grace, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverances. And let the name of your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, be glorified. Them that will be traveling from near and afar, oh God, grant them traveling mercies. You bring them together in the name of Jesus. That we may have a blessed and glorious time in your presence. And let all the praise accrue to your great and wondrous name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life.